Go talk to Frank Schwab, yahoo.com, national NFL insider. He's standing by here on the DraftKings Power Hour. How you doing, my friend?
Good, good. What's new?
I'm trying to figure out if the Lions are going to get a win on Sunday against Burrow and the Bengals. What are you thinking?
I do think they got a shot at it. I mean, it's one of those things where if you watch the games, you understand all 0-5 teams are not the same. The Lions are much, much different team than the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just stink and have no shot. The Lions have been competitive every week. They've been had a couple of heartbreaking losses, and I think that, you know, it's going to become a point where if you don't get the win, your spirit is going to be kind of broken. You worry about that when you're 0-5. I don't think they're there yet. I think they're just really, really focused on getting that win. You can tell after the game that Dan Campbell really wants it. I think they get it. I do. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals pull away a little bit, because they do have the, you know, firepower on offense to do that to teams, and I don't know that the Lions could win a shootout necessarily, but I think this team is fighting hard. I think Campbell's getting the most out of him he can, and I think it's about time. It just feels like this is a week Lions finally get that win after so many close calls.
Frank Schwab, yahoo.com, predicting a Lions win. I think there might be a breaking news sounder all across the state momentarily. I will keep you posted if that happens. Yeah, I like what Campbell's doing. And I said it coming into you, Frank, that, and I talk about the Lions every day here on the Huge Show across Michigan. At some point, what a coaching staff does has to translate onto that scoreboard.
I think so. At some point, that's why these guys are playing the game. And if you're losing week after week, it just kills you emotionally. I mean, these guys, I know people like, we're kind of, I don't know if snickering is the right word, or, you know, kind of surprised by Dan Campbell getting emotional after the game. And it's like, if you don't understand that, you don't really realize what the hours these guys put in, the effort these guys put in. This is, I mean, an all-in, every single week type of profession where, you know, I mean, and to put all of that in and then lose when you're leading with 37 seconds left and lose on a 54-yard field goal or whatever it was, it's just gutting. And yes, at some point you're going to have to get wins. But, you know, not that everything needs to be compared to Matt Patricia, but you could almost, I don't want to say tell that everybody had checked out on Matt Patricia before he even coached a game, but it sure felt like that from the outside, from just the outside looking in, reading the quotes, all that kind of stuff. It never felt like anybody there bought into his BS. And I don't think anybody there cared that he came in basically feeling like he ruled the world because he won some rings with the Patriots. I think the exact opposite with Dan Campbell. I think that they're like, you know, they probably feel like, no, we haven't won a game, but this guy knows what he's doing. This guy's leading us in the right direction. We buy into what he's doing. We're going to battle hard. And it's just, it just seems, again, I'm two time zones away, it just seems like the culture is completely different in Detroit. And at that, you know, as long as he can keep their heads up, their spirits up, as they're going to lose some games, I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's going to be, you know, a good thing and a growth thing going into years 2, 3, and 4 with him.
Frank Schwab, yahoo.com, national NFL insider, joining us here on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Tom Brady last night, some of those throws he made to make sure that Jalen Hurts and the Eagles never touch the football again. I mean, this guy's playing like he's 28 years old. He is.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I was saying before, and I think it was another show. I may have said this to you. I'm not really sure where I said it, but I truly believe this, that if basically Tom Brady triples what he does this year, if he keeps his pace up the rest of the year, which isn't going to be easy. I'm not saying he's going to, but let's say he, you know, makes a run at 50 touchdowns. If the Buccaneers go 14-3, let's say, I believe truly, when you factor in the age, it would be the greatest single season in American professional sports history. We've kind of just grown so accustomed to Brady being great that, and, you know, I don't think we've made a big distinction between age 40 and age 44, when there is a huge distinction. There's no success, absolutely, positively no success for any NFL player at age 44 or older. every quarterback in NFL history, age 44 and older, threw 21 combined touchdowns. Brady's got, what, 18 after 6 weeks? Like, I mean, what he's doing is so unprecedented, so far beyond what anybody's ever done at his age, basically in any sport. He's, you know, the oldest MVP ever is Tom Brady at age 40. That's 4 years ago. And for him to be doing what he's doing just blows my mind. And I don't think it's getting enough attention. I really don't. I think that if he continues this, if he makes a run at 50 touchdowns, which he's certainly on, you know, right there on pace for it, I think you can compare this to Bond's 73 homer season, Gretzky 92 goals, whatever season you put up as the greatest, I think it's right there. I think you'd have to, you know, I mean, Wilt averaging 50 in a season, whatever it is, just because of his age, what he's doing, we've never seen this before, and it's not even close. People shouldn't act like, well, we've seen other 40-year-olds. Yeah, 40, not 44. 44 is something that just above and beyond what anybody could have imagined for anybody before 2021.
I'm looking at Brady last night, and I know Kyler Murray is off to a great start, and so are the Cardinals, and they get Zach Ertz, which is a huge pickup for them. We'll talk about that in a moment. Stafford, second half against Seattle, he's there. But, you know, we're talking about Brady in the MVP conversation again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about six, right? Like, I mean, if you're making a real honest to goodness list right now, you're probably, you know, you're probably there with Justin Herbert's up there for sure. I think that Dak Prescott, definitely. I think Lamar Jackson, what he's doing this year is pretty impressive, especially at a Monday night. Josh Allen, of course, he's up there. Tyler. You know, there's a lot of guys in this mix for sure. I mean, it's really going to be an interesting race. And we'll see, you know, honestly, we're going to have to see if Brady can continue this, because I know it sounds dumb based on how well he's played, but at some point he's going to hit the wall. He has to. Like, this has to happen eventually. He's not just going to play till he's 70 years old. Like, some point he has to slow down. And, I mean, who knows if, you know, he could continue this pace the rest of the season. But I think it's going to be a fascinating MVP race. I think he leads it right now. If you ask me who I think is going to win it eventually, I think it's going to be Josh Allen, because I think the Bills are the best team in football. But all these guys, you know, there's about six, seven quarterbacks who have a legitimate case right now as MVP. And that's pretty fun after, you know, 5 weeks in one game.
His name is Frank Schwab, Yahoo.com, national NFL insider, joining us here on the DraftKings NFL Power Hour. What about that pickup and trade for Ertz? Just another offensive weapon and a good bailout weapon for Murray and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, because I like teams that get aggressive when they, you know, it was 10 years ago even, there was no trades at the trade deadline in the NFL. There were no in-season trades. It just didn't happen, and I'm not sure why it didn't. But it wasn't like basketball, baseball, hockey, where, you know, teams know, hey, we have a window here, let's chase this thing. And I really respect the Cardinals saying, hey, we're 5-0. We think we're legit. We just lost Max Williams, our tight end. We can go get Zach Ertz, and we're not mortgaging a farm or anything like that. I don't know. They didn't give up too much for him, and it adds a piece to their offense that can really be usable. I like that. I like being a little bit aggressive and saying, hey, you know, why, let's take a run at this thing. Let's not just hold on to our future draft picks like they're the most valuable thing in the world. Sometimes it's okay to, you know, trade a mid-round pick for a really, really good player right now. So really respect the move. I think it makes their offense better. I think, look, no matter what happens on Sunday, Cleveland's a good team. That's who Arizona plays. If Cleveland beats Arizona, fine. You're losing to another good team on the road. That doesn't bother me. I don't want anybody to be like, well, Arizona's been hit exposed. They're not that good. No. Arizona's really good. They've proven it to me. I don't know that they're going to win a Super Bowl. They play in a tough division, and it's tough to know whether everybody stays healthy and all that kind of stuff. But there's absolutely no part of me that thinks this is a fraudulent 5-0. They're a really good football team. They do a lot of things to make opponents uncomfortable. And I think they're going to be there right until the end. And they're going to be a factor in January.
Other storylines you like going into this weekend? I know it began last night with Tampa holding on to beat the Eagles. You mentioned the Browns and the Cardinals, which is one of the better games. Is there a team still not on the radar that you think is ready to make a big push and be there in the playoffs at the end of the regular season?
The only team, and it's tough after Monday night, because for most of Monday night, I was like, wow, this is the Colts team I really liked in the offseason. 22-3 on a good Ravens team, and then just sell a part for them. And when they lost a coin toss in overtime, you knew it was over. Like, it was just, okay, well, man, I know how this game ends. But I still think, look, the Titans play the Bills on Monday night. I actually think the Bills are in for a letdown spot. But if they can survive that and beat the Titans, and if the Colts can beat the Texans, who aren't very good, there's still just one game back in that division. And I think that this team, I think Carson Wentz played really well on Monday night, and they held on to that win, and everything needed to go well for the Ravens. They needed to block a field goal. They needed to get a couple two-pointers. Everything needed to go well, including winning the coin toss in overtime. If the Colts come out of that game with a win, we're having a wow, Carson Wentz looks really good last week. The Colts have a real path to getting back in this division race and making things interesting. So I think there's one team that's kind of hanging out there that might surprise teams in the second half of the season. I think it would be the Colts. I just think that they're well coached. I think they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to get healthier as we go along. And the Titans haven't put them away yet. And as long as, you know, the Colts don't trip up against the Texans on Sunday because they're disappointed in what happened on Monday night, I think the Colts stay in this thing. And I think they're going to be a team that gets better as the season goes on, whereas I don't really see that out of the Titans. I don't think that's a very good team.
Best rookie so far, who would you put at the top of that list, and who would you put on the flip side on the most disappointing rookie in terms of a high draft pick?
Sure. I think I'll go to the defensive side. I think Micah Parsons of the Cowboys is the best rookie I've seen. Just the fact that basically the Cowboys said, we have no pass rushers left, Micah. Hey, put your hand in dirt and play defensive end for us. Can you do that? And he looked like he'd done it for 10 years. It was remarkable how good he has been as an edge rusher when they needed him. That really impressed me. Whereas none of these, really, honestly, I mean, Jamar Chase has been great. Najee Harris has had his moments, especially last week. But I think the shocking thing is, it's almost like a five-way tie for the most disappointing with these five first-round quarterbacks. I guess Mac Jones hasn't been that disappointing. I think he's been the one outlier. But the other four, Trevor Lawrence hasn't been what we thought he'd be. A ton of mistakes. Zach Wilson's made a ton of mistakes. Justin Fields, they're just keeping him kind of under glass and not letting him do anything. He's throwing 20 times a game and running it like two or three times. And then Trey Lance didn't look great last week and kind of got himself hurt just playing this like style where he's just not even looking to throw the ball. He's just looking to tug and run. So I think I had such high hopes for all these rookie quarterbacks coming in after they all played well in the preseason. And they've all been disappointing, honestly. Like, again, Mac Jones has been pretty good. Not great, but good. And the other four have just been, honestly, pretty bad. And I think they're going to get better. I think they're all going to be fine. I'm not calling them busts or anything, but I expected way more out of these quarterbacks that we've seen so far.
The Gruden situation, they have moved on, they being the Raiders and Gruden. Who do you think is the next coach in Las Vegas?
Boy, that's a really good question. I think that it's I can't get a grasp on, you know, how people view that job. They don't have the high-end quarterback in place. They don't have a ton of talent, but yet it's a new market. It's a fun market. You got this, you know, brand new stadium and an owner who is going to try. I think I don't think the Raiders are failing because they're not trying. I just think they made the wrong moves. I think that they're going to be an attractive ish kind of job. I don't know exactly, you know, who gets it, but you know, their interim, Richard Bisciotta, I probably completely mispronounced that name, but I, you know, he's got a nice, you know, 12 games here coming up to say, hey, I should get this job. And I don't think they're a bad team. I really don't. So what if they go, you know, if they go 10-7, 9-8 even, I could see Mark Davis saying, hey, let's just keep this thing going. We played pretty well this year. We can make a leap next year. So I'd say that, you know, the interim has enough time with a good enough team that he's going to have a legit shot at keeping that job.
Frank, I love the NFL inside commentary. Thank you so much. Enjoy another big weekend of football.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.